Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, welcome to Film Fandango, the film podcast. I am David Reed, and this man about to speak is Marek Larwood. Hello, Marek.
I want to ruin your introduction.
Why was that? Why is that your instinct?
I'm a bully.
I didn't know that about you. How long have we been doing this? I didn't know that about you.
You must have. You do. You're being sarcastic, aren't you? Well, film lovers and people who are listening to this by mistake, welcome to another show. We thought we'd do something different.
Yeah, we instead of banging on about cinema like we do all the time, we're going to talk about some of the films available to you on streaming services.
Yeah, we thought we'd do a Netflix special because... Oh, is that what you're doing? Are you doing
Yeah,
that?
Netflix.
Because everyone talks about... Everyone's got a Netflix. Everyone, you watch it, and it's become almost a joke that no one knows what to watch.
Also, the algorithms mean that a lot of the time, you don't actually know what is on its full catalogue.
You watch one bad film, and then because you watched...
It just keeps telling you to watch
Because
Doom.
You watch Shitmongers 3, it you've got to watch The
Doom! You want to watch Doom again, mate, with The Rock in it. You love Doom. And then that's all you... It's all it suggests, just constant Doom.
Well, there are a lot of great films other than Blue is the Warmest Colour that I always watch. So, for example, a quick list of a few that are on there at the moment.
Yeah.
Our listeners have probably seen, but if you haven't, you must watch them. Old classics and well-known films: Fargo, Harold and Maude,
yeah.
Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind,
great.
Blue Ruin, I've done that before. Yeah. Foreign film Headhunters, Tremors, classic Kevin Bacon film.
I have not seen Tremors in forever. I've seen it.
It's on there. Every time I watch Tremors, I think that's a great film.
Yeah, yeah.
Super 8, I loved. Upstream Colour, we talked about before, it's a really weird Shane Carruth one you wouldn't maybe watch normally, but that's on there.
Yeah.
American Werewolf in London, one of the greatest films of all time. The Omen, if you like horror. Cinema Paradiso, if you haven't seen that.
I've still not seen it, you know. It's one of those that everyone says, and then I just go, little boy.
Oh, it's just beautiful. Populare, which is a really good film, French film about typewriting, I talked about ages ago.
Yeah.
Step Brothers, really funny comedy.
Brilliant film. So underrated, Step Brothers.
Genuinely
one
funny
of my
comedy,
favourites.
Yeah.
One of my favourites.
What's his name?
Which one? John C. Reilly.
Yeah,
or...
amazing.
Brilliant. The two of them, though, it's a revelation of the two of them together that John C. Reilly, traditionally, sort of before all of this stuff, he was like a serious actor, but he can totally hold his own being as funny as Will Ferrell. They're a fantastic double actor.
He does a lot of Tim and Eric stuff, isn't he?
Yeah, he does, yeah.
And also, of course, it wouldn't be Netflix without having some of the worst films of all time.
Of course, some of the bargain bin stuff.
Well, not even that. Paul Blart's
Mall Cop. Yeah, I've not seen it. I can't possibly. It would be based purely on Kevin James' prejudice.
I saw it on a flight. That doesn't really do any film justice.
No, we talked about that recently, didn't we?
Yeah.
The tiny screen and the tinny headphones doesn't actually do any film.
Draft Day, which I reviewed on the show.
Oh, yeah,
worst.
Incredibly boring film.
And Frances Ha, which, if any film makes you want to punch your television screen until both your fists are a bloody pulp.
What is Frances Ha?
It's a black and white arty film
who's
about the
it?
Most annoying, even more annoying than the one who's in like Junebug and stuff. Was June, the awful real.
Oh, do you not like Ellen
Juno.
Page?
Even
You're
more
not an
annoying
Ellen Page fan.
Than Juno.
Have you seen
which is impossible.
Hard Candy?
Yeah, I have seen that.
That's
yeah,
a good film.
That's all right. But in Juno, she's... I thought that you can never get more annoying than that. Apparently you can. In Frances Ha, she plays this girl who wants to be an actress and a dancer or a dancer or something.
Greta Gerwig
yeah,
plays
I Frances. Watched 30 minutes of it and I hated it. And yeah. I've spoken to other people who think it's total... I think I actually bought it because someone recommended it to me. And I've never spoken to that person again.
Oh,
so
dear.
Avoid Frances Ha, Draft Day, Paul Blart's Mall Cop. And you'll be all right.
Not be tempted by these films. I've watched so many trousers thrillers on Netflix.
Trousers as in not good.
Yeah, I mean, that's a really...
I like to watch a thriller about trousers.
Trousers thriller. Who would be in it, though? Who could sell a thriller about trousers? Have to be someone with a decent set of pins themselves for you to trust
you
them
never
with
see
a,
the,
a trousers vehicle.
You never... You don't need to see the legs, do you?
Well, trousers. It depends on how tight the trousers are, of course.
These days,
I know.
Well, I hate to say it, I
you could set
before,
it in the '20s, and then it's and they can wear a zoot suit, and it doesn't matter what their pins are like.
I think I told you before. I went to buy some jeans for my birthday this year, and I realised that I don't no longer understand jeans.
What do you mean?
There's skinny jeans, which are basically tights.
Yeah.
Slim jeans, which are or
baggy tights,
slightly or weird jeans, and I actually bought a pair of chinos.
Chinos, yeah, you are wearing chinos.
First
of all,
I've moved into trousers now.
Welcome to middle age.
Yep, that's it. Yeah, we're wearing beige shirts before you can say massive bull slapper.
If you want to wear boot cut jeans like me, Marek, what I can recommend is buying them 20 years ago.
Yeah.
That's what you need to do.
They still do boot cut ones.
Yeah, but not so much.
But you don't wear boots, do you?
No, but I just don't. I don't want to be vacuum packed into my denim. Thanks. I don't want to be a piece of meat on display. I don't like it.
Well, there we go. There's an insight into
something to think about.
David Reed. There. Do you want to talk? We're going to talk about three films in a bit more detail. Each.
Oh, are we? Okay.
Is that all right?
Sure. Sure. What's your first?
My first one is an old classic, but it's a really good. A really enjoyable prison film.
Okay.
You must have seen it. It's been on TV a million times, but it's on Netflix. And I think you might have... I watched it about 2 or 3 years ago, and I really enjoyed it. Escape from Alcatraz.
Is this the Clint Eastwood one?
Yes,
I don't believe I've seen it.
It sort of feels as though it's...
It's like a reverse The Rock, isn't it?
It's better than that, because it's actually based on a true... story of an escape that took place.
I've been to Alcatraz. I've done the tour.
Have you?
Yeah. I've done the tour, and they tell you all about. You get to see
where they did.
Yeah. All of that.
You can see how things like the Shawshank Redemption have borrowed a bit from this,
right?
From the film.
When's it from?
It was made in 1979.
Okay.
It's got Clint Eastwood plays the hero, and Patrick McGoohan, who is in The Prisoner, plays. He's a brilliant. Nasty.
He's a fantastic actor. Does he only play prisoners in his prison?
No, he's a prison warden.
Oh, what a twist!
It has to be. Has to be prison related,
of course.
And it's just because it's whether it's a true story. You know, it's a true story.
See if it's this one, because I remember the story of there's one man who managed to escape. Or he managed to get down to the water and they never heard from him again. So they don't know whether he survived the swim across the bay or not.
Oh, this is three. This is three of them.
Yes, three men escaped, but one was unaccounted for.
I think they all were.
Oh, really?
I can't remember.
It was I was only 19 when I went to Alcatraz, so I might have forgotten the story a bit. There's also the Birdman. He's another man from Alcatraz, isn't he?
Yes.
Birdman of Alcatraz that there's a film of, I think.
What was he? Was he a serial killer or something?
No, he just kept birds.
He was really violent as well.
Oh, was he?
Okay. Yeah. It's just a really enjoyable... solid film.
You
forget how it's something, because it's basically like a bottle episode type of thing.
Yeah,
in a way, it's controlled. You're in the prison.
But it's
also like
a heist.
Yeah,
it's a heist for your freedom, where the prize is your freedom, not a load of cash, and that's more exciting.
Prison Escape is always brilliant.
Really good. It's TV, but the first series of Prison Break is exactly crack cocaine for people who like prison escape stuff. But I'm trying to think of other films. I saw a futuristic prison escape film with Arnold Schwarzenegger and Sly Stallone in it recently. it was bollocks. It was absolute bollocks. But I do like the genre. There was another one, another sci-fi one. They don't work. Maybe that's
well,
what
I'm learning. Well, there's one that's really weird. It's also on Netflix.
What's that?
The horror film, which is also a very... my friend Paul Allen told me. It's a really great... It's called The Cube.
Oh, Cube.
Yeah, Cube. Cube, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Fantastic
Possibly the,
film.
Possibly the greatest...
Bottle episode.
Well, the greatest opening 2 minutes
of
a film.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. It's wonderful little pre-titles thing.
Yeah, but that is almost
Cube is genius in that it's manages to turn one small set into an epic scale place simply by repetition and different lights, isn't it? It's a beautifully constructed
film. We talked
about,
like, I talked about It Follows recently.
Yeah.
Films where the premise is so good that it almost carries the film.
Yeah.
And Cube's watching just worth watching because it's just really rigid.
Well, that's on Netflix.
Familiar and original.
There's another one in a similar genre of just good writing on a budget, which is Exam. It's not as good as Cube, but Exam, I've talked about before, where people enter an exam room and it's for seemingly some sort of sinister, high-paid job, and they're told only one of them will get the job, and there's an armed guard on the door, and if they leave, that's it. They're not allowed.
Jimmy Mystery's in it, isn't he?
Yes, he is. Yeah, but anyway, they all turn their exam papers over, and it's blank, and they have to work out what the challenge actually is.
Now, this is a bit like what you said to me, which is really interesting. That our listeners might be interested. These escape rooms that you were talking about. Can you tell people about these
escape rooms? I did one for the first time in Boston recently in America.
What is it?
An escape room is it's like a game, but a live action game. So you and some friends go to this place, and you're put in a room, and they lock the door. You're locked in there, and
you get killed.
You get slowly, one by one, killed by rats, mice, you know, sharp objects. You have to solve puzzles in order, and there's a big clock on the wall ticking down, and you have to try and solve a series of puzzles that lead to. Ultimately, you know, they lead to codes that open boxes and blah, 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 blah. Ultimately lead to a key to get out of the room before the timer's up. Otherwise, you lose. Incredible fun. Incredible fun. I'm doing another one on Wednesday and Thursday, in fact.
So it's a bit like Exam, but
in
real life.
That's right. It's exactly like that.
Escape room.
Escape room. Well, one company is called Escape Room, and they've got them around the world. And the one, I'm doing one in London called Hint Hunt. Which is on Thursday.
It's a bit dodgy the way you can say that. You can say that wrong.
Hint Hunt. Yeah, but no, great fun. The Guy Pearce film, The Prison Escape, but he's escaping back in. It's more like The Rock, a sci-fi film called Lockout, which is okay. It's a bit of a sort of high camp space romp, really. What is so strange is that Guy Pearce has started to occupy this character actor portion of Hollywood, where he's always flown in to play people who are totally unlike him.
Yeah.
Whether he's playing a bizarre old man in Prometheus,
weird.
Or a really weird stereotypical geek in Iron Man 3, or whatever. In this, he plays Kurt Russell, basically young Kurt Russell, and he's brilliant at it.
Yeah.
He's so likeable and funny, and he should just be doing that. Because he's so much better at it.
Guy, get your agent on the phone.
Yeah.
Now.
You could have been the new Chris Pratt. You know, Guy Pearce. You could have done it.
Too old now, like the rest of us.
Yeah.
Anyway, if you haven't seen Escape from Alcatraz, I'm sure you have, but you can't go wrong with a nice... I just like a good 70s film.
Yeah, yeah. I watch it. I do love an escape. Escape to Victory. That's an okay one. You always remember it being better than it is.
Yeah,
that's
rubbish.
I've looked through and... one that actually that surprised me that I've not even thought about for a long time on Netflix. I'll go through a few. Is looking at kids' films, actually. I want to, because, you know, some of our listeners might have kids or might, you know, want to watch something a bit.
Or have kids in
silly.
The future.
They want to have kids, yeah. Prepare to have kids by watching kids' films. But two that I think got criminally overlooked because they came around at a time when Pixar was king. And normal 2D Disney animation was just not really getting a look in. You know, it was post Hunchback of Notre Dame. They stopped doing musicals and it was all about Toy Story and The Incredibles and everything. One is Lilo and Stitch, which is actually a really, really good.
The main character's really annoying, but is he not?
Lilo, she's not.
Sorry, beg your pardon.
Lilo is a little girl who befriends a...
I'm talking about Stitch. Yeah.
Stitch is an alien experiment, specimen 626. He's been genetically engineered to be a weapon. A bit like
Iron Giant,
or Jurassic Park, Jurassic World, we were talking about last week. And anyway, he crash lands in Hawaii and befriends this little girl who's obsessed with gross things and Elvis, and it's really good fun and it's heartwarming and lovely. And then another one around the same period from the same studio is The Emperor's New Groove. That is basically The Emperor's New Clothes, but set in the Inca times, and is really funny. It's really, really good. But anyway, one that I haven't seen in a long time, and I can't tell you whether it holds up, actually, but is The 12 Tasks of Asterix, which I used to absolutely love Asterix books. I don't know if you were a fan when you...
Yeah,
I had them all. I've got them all in the corner over there. So formative for who I am and what I've ended up doing, but their films are actually really good, and this, some of them anyway, and this is one of those films where
I've never watched them because I would like the book so much.
Yeah,
Asterix and the Banquet, Asterix and the Soothsayer.
Yeah,
Asterix goes to Britain.
There's one of the films that's actually very good where Brian Blessed plays the centurion and Bill Oddie is Asterix. That weirdly works, actually, if you don't know who Bill Oddie is when you're a child. But it's called Asterix and the Big Fight, but it is a mixture of the Big Fight and the Soothsayer stories.
Oh,
they
really?
Mix them together, and it's actually really, really good. But the 12 Tasks of Asterix is based on the Hercules 12 Tasks.
Yeah.
And there's some really scary bits in that film. Like, the one that stands out in my mind is where he has to... One of the tasks is he has to contend with this sort of building of bureaucracy, where he has to go around and get a pink slip, but no, he has to go down to a different room, and he's going up and down stairs, being sent around by this bureaucracy, and ends up going mad.
What was it made?
Really frightening. I couldn't tell you because I...
I'll look it up now.
The 12 Tasks of Asterix, but it's... I assume it's the 80s, but it might be the 90s.
Did they make a whole load of them?
Shush. Yeah, they've made a few. I think they made in Britain.
1976.
76, oh, okay.
Great year.
But yeah, I'd be interested to see if it holds up to my memory of it. That's all. But I used
that's
to.
That's on
it.
Netflix.
That's on Netflix. Yeah,
I'm gonna watch it.
Yeah.
Okay, should I go to my next pick?
Sure. What have you got?
My next pick is an Argentinian thriller that won Oscar for Best Film in 2010 or something. I didn't know that. I try and occasionally take, as you know, regular listeners, I like to take a punt on foreign films. This is absolutely brilliant. It's a sort of thriller about there's this bloke, former sort of detective or counsellor, and he's retired and he's writing a novel.
What's it called?
The Secret in Their Eyes. He's writing a novel about an old case that wasn't really properly resolved, and he's got this history where the chief of police or something. The problem is I'll be honest, my memory is fading fast. And he's in love with his old boss or something, and all that comes up again, and he looks over the old file and brings a case and thinks they've convicted the wrong person. It's just a really great foreign thriller, exciting, pacey, brilliant acting, great script, even though it's all subtitled.
Yeah.
If you want a good thriller, don't be scared. We're going to the French are those are good ones, but this is a great... and just check, it is Argentinian? I think it's Argentinian. Somewhere around that way. Please watch it. It's great. You'll love it.
All right. There's some decent comedy horror on there. Interesting genre.
Yes.
Tucker and Dale versus Evil being a favourite of ours that we've talked about before. Really excellent film. Grabbers is one I wanted to talk about. Now, this is, full disclosure, this is written by a friend of mine.
But, oh, bloody hell.
But it's an impressive feat to get a film made and be out there. And if you like comedy horror, this is a really fun one. I may have talked about it before. I have a feeling I have, but it would have been a long time ago now. the setup is, it's set on an Irish island. It's an Irish film. It's made with Irish money. And a alien monster that a blood-sucking, killing goobly washes up on this island after an asteroid crashes in the sea. And it starts killing people in this remote village, a bit like Father Ted with aliens.
Well, what's the 47 coming from the sea there, Sawtooth?
Oh, it's a monster, Bond! And they soon discover that this thing won't attack you if your blood alcohol level is over a certain amount because it's toxic to it. So their plan is to... they have to wait until morning in order to get rescued. And their plan is to get as pissed as possible in the pub. But of course, the drunker they get, the less capable they get to do the sensible thing in fighting a monster.
But they've got to do drunk acting. That must have been really hard.
And the drunk acting is excellent.
Oh, really?
Good. Yeah, it's really good. But it's just a really fun little monster movie. And it's a great premise. And it's pulled off really, really well. I really like it. I think it's a really fun film. You know, it's sort of... comedy horror is a difficult genre because I don't... you can get very, very different films in that category, I think. This one is sort of along the tone of, like, Gremlins or Tucker and Dale, I'd say. It's sort of along that. It knows firmly what it is. But it's great fun. And the monster's actually good. It's a good new monster. You can get a lot of sort of... in the world of CGI, you get a lot of sort of generic things that are a bit like The Alien or things that are a bit like Predator. This is a brand new tentacled... and they're called grabbers because they grab you.
Okay, cool. Well, my last one is one you've probably heard of. It's what's it? It's basically the one that the Hunger Games ripped off completely.
Battle Royale?
Yeah, the Japanese Battle Royale. Don't bother watching Hunger Games. Watch this. It's got all the violence in it. It's properly horrible. It doesn't... they don't care about any of the characters. They just get killed, basically. The Japanese...
But it's a proper satire, isn't it, though, in that... because it doesn't pull any punches in hyper-violence with children...
Yeah, so it's something really horrific about it. But I think there's some sort of futuristic government, and they get all this class of kids... and they, I think the survivor, whoever, the last person alive,
gets a prize or something. But yeah, they all get random weapons is the wonderful thing. And so if you want a better weapon, you have to try and kill someone with a better weapon to get it.
Yeah.
So like one of the, I think it's right, one of them only gets like a compass. And this is like what they're supposed to do. Whereas others have got like shotguns or whatever.
Yeah, it's great. Really original and totally ripped off by the Hunger Games. And this is much better and much more... it should be really violent and really exciting. And I think it's quite... to be honest, I watched it. I thought it was really good. If you haven't seen it, give it a go.
Yeah. All right. Well, one I wanted to talk about because I saw it recently and I found it quite fascinating. It was sort of a gap in a man's career that I hadn't been aware of before. But I mean, I was looking through comedies specifically, and there's some you know, absolute classics in there, but there's not much point talking about because everybody knows how good they are. You know, Airplane you can watch, Naked Gun you can watch, you know, there's absolutely loads on there. Priscilla Queen of the Desert, Heathers. Haven't seen Heathers in years. Do you remember Heathers?
I've never seen Heathers. Is it worth watching?
I remember it being great fun. Again, I've not seen it whilst being an adult, but Heathers is Winona Ryder and Christian Slater in a high school being the weird kids, but they are properly, they go for it weird. Really good fun that I remember. But the one I wanted to talk about was The Parole Officer.
I love that film.
Yeah, now this is Steve Coogan back when he was just turned, he'd just been a screen success and he was now making a British comedy film to try and break into Hollywood. As we all know, that didn't quite work out for him, and he's come back and is now doing brilliant stuff on British TV again, and even in British independent movies that are really, really good. But what's so interesting about this is it's so un-Steve Coogan. The film itself is so sort of nice. It's of the genre. It feels nostalgic. It feels like...
It's a bit like in a continuation of the sort of Hugh Grant era of
ish, yeah. Oh, but I would say it almost feels a bit sort of Coming to America or Trading Places as well. It's a bit like that, mixed in with a bit of sort of Full Monty, of the Britishness, of the sort of getting the gang together, and it's all quite... It's never truly violent or terrible or whatever. The premise of it is he is a parole officer and he accidentally... becomes witness to some enormous police corruption and so gets framed for a crime, and he has to heist the evidence out of a bank to clear his name and drop this guy in it. And in order to do that, he has to approach the criminals he's been a parole officer for and convince them to turn back to a life of crime to help him do this.
I remember watching this because it couldn't get very good reviews, did it? I watched it and I was hugely surprised because I thoroughly enjoyed it.
I thought it was great.
It's
good. A TV movie, yeah. But it feels like back to the era of like Rick Moranis and John Candy films. You know, it feels just fun. And if you're a fan of Game of Thrones, it's very weird that his love interest is Cersei Lannister, as in Lena Headey, who's in Dread and all sorts of stuff. But she is just playing the smiley, sexy police officer lady, and she's brilliant at it. And even more weird, I don't think you watch Game of Thrones, do you?
So yeah, probably I do.
The really, really good villain, like the incredibly charismatic, absolute bastard... with a glint in his eye and a smile, plays...
The Irish guy?
No, he plays Stannis Baratheon.
Oh, yeah.
Who
great.
Is the most sort of stoic, boring... He's not boring, but you know what I mean? Just sort of like plain character, never cracks a smile ever. And this actor has done... is really good in it.
Yeah.
I thought, you know, it's not a classic film, but I think it's possibly Coogan's best film. If you know what I mean.
Alpha Papa.
Alpha Papa's good, but it's patchy.
I
really liked Alpha Papa for some of the sketches in it, if you know what I mean. I don't think it works as a film because Alan Partridge wants to be in a Bond film so much. That's what's tragic about him. And as soon as the stakes get risen for Alan Partridge... I think it's a bit odd.
Yeah.
There's something that doesn't work for me. There's some really good jokes in it. There's some really good sequences. The story didn't work for me. I think Parole Officer as a piece works.
Yeah, I mean, I really enjoyed it. A great choice. Yeah. Well, should we finish off with some letters?
Sure.
Guess who's...
Chris Webb.
Well, someone's written in about an old episode, but it's too old.
What number?
87. That's 3 years ago.
God, that's over 100 episodes ago.
I've got no memory of that.
100 weeks ago. That's 2 years. Okay.
This is Chris Webb. He says, try the Welsh accent again, please.
Right. Dear David, Marek and Buddy the Dog. You didn't put that. You just put Buddy. I'll stop putting words in your mouth, Chris Webb. After hearing your cry for help in your last podcast, I thought I'd better write in. What sort of obsessed superfan would I be otherwise? We all claim to be big fans of cinema. As such, there's a certain level of expectation that we have seen all of the important films we're supposed to have watched. Those ones we know are classics that we compare all others to. But have we actually seen them? For example, I reckon I'm a right smart ass, know it all about movies, but I confess I haven't seen 2001, Apocalypse Now, A Clockwork Orange, or Taxi Driver.
Dickhead.
Well, I mean... Come on, Chris Webb. I will do my best to right these cinematic wrongs. So come on, chaps. This is your opportunity to confess your unseen classics, too. What haven't you seen that you know you should have, if you want to retain your strokey, beardy film status? Don't think we've got that. Carrying on themes from previous mails. My recommendation for a film that's so bad it's good, you can't go wrong with For Your Height Only. A very low-budget Filipino spy movie featuring a dwarf called Weng Weng. The dubbing is dreadful, making it one of the funniest things I've ever seen. To be honest, I'm not sure if it's intentionally bad or not. Either way, well worth seeking out. Finally, another good film with the word blue in the title. Out of the Blue is a New Zealand thriller/drama from 2006 that tells the true life story of a crazed gunman attacking the tiny South Island town of Aramona, pronounced Aramuwana. Aramuwana. Gripping and heartbreaking, with a brilliant performance by Matthew Sutherland as gunman David Gray. No, not that one. This is a 10 Chris film. Hope you're enjoying your British summer and keep watching the films. Lots of love, Chris Webb. Okay, so...
You haven't seen Carrie, have you?
I have now.
Oh, the original?
Yeah, I've saw the original.
I've still not watched the original Psycho.
How about you? What have you...
I'm just trying to look at... I have not seen Battleship Potemkin.
I don't think that's an absolute classic, is it?
It is one of... Everyone goes on about Battleship Potemkin. I'm just going to go for the top 250. The reason I haven't seen the films is that I always forget that I'm supposed to watch it. We're just looking through.
Okay, we'll go down... We'll count down from number one. And see who's not seen the highest rated film.
We're just scrolling down now. You've seen 12. You've seen 12.
I've not seen 12 Angry Men. There you go. At number seven.
Number seven rated film.
Yeah.
I can't believe Lord of the Rings is at number nine. Have you seen The Good, Bad and the Ugly?
Yes. Well, you've seen all the Lord of the Rings, right?
Yeah.
It's at 9, 11, and 12.
I have seen Seven Samurai. Have you seen that?
Yes.
I'm all the way there. I'm still
going
strong. I've seen all of the top.
I've not seen Interstellar. I've still not seen Interstellar. No. It didn't look very interesting.
Once Upon a Time in the West, I thought that was pretty boring.
Casablanca's good.
City Lights. Did we review City
Charlie
Lights?
Charlie Chaplin. No, we did Modern Times, not City Lights.
So that's my first one. Number 34, City Lights. I haven't seen. From the top 250. It's a really good game. We watched Modern Times.
There we go. Yeah, Mad Max Fury Road's made it in at number 40.
Well, that's my first incredible one I haven't seen. Mad Max Fury Road. Out of the top... I'm doing really
50,
well
out of the top 50 there. The Pianist I hope didn't watch either, because I didn't like Adrian Brody. I don't really like him.
I'm doing really well with this. I've only two of these.
Sunset Boulevard, you seen Sunset Boulevard?
That's a great film.
It is a great film.
The Great Dictator. It's another Chaplin film.
Basically, Chaplin
screwing me on this. Paths of Glory. I've not seen that.
Yeah.
Have you seen it?
No. I've seen all these others, but no, not that. Grave of the Fireflies,
I both hated that.
You did, didn't you? North by Northwest, Citizen Kane, Vertigo.
I think I've seen bits of Princess Man. I've not seen M.
No, not seen
Fritz Lang one.
Yeah. You've seen Das Boot?
Yes. Witness for the Prosecution? I haven't even heard of that.
Never heard of it.
Billy Wilder.
1957.
Yeah. Play this at home. Here we go. Here's my big one.
Lawrence of Arabia.
I've not seen the whole of Lawrence of Arabia.
I mean, it is a long film, but that is probably a faux pas on your part. Bicycle Thieves I've not watched. You said it's very good.
All About Eve I've not seen.
Okay.
And The Kid I've not seen.
And number 100, The Apartment.
I've seen.
Is that good?
I've seen half of it.
Jack Lemmon, Shirley MacLaine.
So about six out of the top 100. Lawrence of Arabia is my big one then that I should really...
And Psycho is mine.
Okay. Well, there we go. That was quite a good game. So why not go through the IMDb top 100 and see how much of a loser you are. Or a winner.
A winner. I would say whatever ranking if you count from number one, whatever ranking the first film you've not seen is, that's your score.
I think it should be number one. Chaplin's going to undo a lot of people, I think.
Yeah. Although lots of people have seen his films, you know, they're very popular still.
Yeah, I've probably seen bits of them.
Yeah.
Oh, anyway, we'll just finish off on a letter from James Childs.
Okay, do you want to read that?
Yeah. In case this gets read, for acting purposes, I was born in London, grew up near Swindon, and lived my entire adult life in Scotland.
So, sort of a Cockney Scot.
I can't do Scottish.
Okay.
I'm trying to think where that is in... if you take all those places, whereabouts it would be, that equidistant place.
Well, it's York.
York, Yorkshire, then. You married David and Buddy. Is that Yorkshire?
Close enough.
Following your recent discussion highlighting Marek's general dislike of musicals, I thought, given his love of documentary, that perhaps a documentary about a musical might make a refreshing change. Therefore, I would like to recommend Broadway Idiot, a documentary about the staging of a Broadway version of a musical based on Green Day album American Idiot.
Wow.
It's something of a puff piece. So I got mixed up. This is me stepping out of it now. Oh, this, well, basically, is it? It's something of a puff piece with a quite high lovey count. I mean, that second bit of that sentence really ruins the first bit, especially with the accent. But I think it gives a quite an interesting look behind the scenes of the process of bringing together a musical, and has some added interest as it requires the buy-in of Green Day before the production can go ahead. Obviously, it helps if you're a fan of Green Day or at least this album, but I think it stands alone as a solid piece of interesting filmmaking. Anyway, I really like it and thought it might bridge the gap between David's love of musicals and Marek's love of documentary. Keep watching the films. James Charles, P.S. One of my favourite documentaries is I Like Killing Flies, which I don't think you've ever mentioned. It's a great character piece about a deli owner in New York who's abrasive, mercurial, passionate and a local legend. Thank you very much, James.
Thank you. Are you a Green Day fan?
No.
No. I like some of their tracks. I've played some in my band when I was like 11 years old.
Oh,
something.
Really?
Yeah, well, you know, everyone did back then, you know, played Basket Case, you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, have you got any interest in seeing a documentary about a musical?
Well, I'll give it a try if I've got one. Give it a try, mate.
I don't remember professing my love for musicals. I think he's doing a certain amount of interpretation.
David loves musicals.
I love musicals.
David loves musicals. What are you doing tonight, David? Going to watch a musical, bet?
Yeah, well, I'm either going to watch one or I'm just going to prance around the living room pretending I'm in one.
Oh, I loved it. This is really... That is borderline.
No, it's just camp.
Okay. I'm too busy playing Wolfsburg, my new sport.
Big macho.
Yeah.
Where did that come from?
I just wanted to plug it.
I just wanted you to know I'm really, really tough.
I realised I haven't plugged my new sport for a while. And it's cost me loads of money. So why not buy a Wolfsburg t-shirt? But if you want to... That's the end of the podcast. But if you want to donate to help the podcast, that was really gratefully received.
Go to filmfandango.co.uk and follow the links from there. And if you'd like to write to us like everybody has... then dearfilmfandango@gmail.com is the place to write to. We will be back next week.
Keep watching the films.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.